Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Published and Insights Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I am so thrilled today because I have such an inspirational person with me, Mike Jaffe. Mike is known as the human wake-up call. He is a 9/11 survivor and used his own brush with tragedy as a message of self-discovery and empowerment. His book is a wake-up call for all of us. As a top coach, Mike has a framework that utilizes five principles to wake up your potential so you can start living powerfully today. He's the founder of the Mike Jaffe Company, and he's been a featured expert on CNN, Fox News, New England Cable News, and many others. Mike has also been published and quoted in the Wall Street Journal, and we're so thrilled, Mike, that you took the time to spend with us today and share your story of inspiration and your wisdom with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Mike, tell me a little bit about what brought you to realize your purpose and passion that you now feel so strongly and are contributing so brilliantly throughout the world.
Well, thank you. You know, for me, it was definitely a journey that was inspired by an event because originally I had gone through my career. I would suppose, like many other people, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I just kind of dealt with life as it showed up. It just floated down the river. And as things came into being, I kind of just ran with it. But I never really had a vision or a sense of purpose or direction that I wanted to live into. And I remember I was in a corporate job, and things were fine. See, I find that it's so hard to make changes when things are fine because they're not painful enough to cause you to want to change, yet, you know, they're not quite what you really want out of life. You're not squeezing enough life out of life. And so I was caught in kind of this fine limbo, you know, living life at about a 5 or 6. People were nice. The job was okay. But there was nothing really calling me out. And I was going through day after day and week after week. And at the time, my daughter was very young. She was only one. I have a son since, but at the time it was just her. And my commute was 2 hours each way. And so now for 4 hours a day, I was commuting to and from, you know, an average job. And that was the spark, because now I started to feel the cost of my decisions. And the cost showed up in the way that I could not see my daughter awake during the week. When I would leave in the morning, she'd be sleeping. I'd come home at night, and she'd be sleeping. And this happened again, as I said, day after day, week after week, month after month. And I realized that it just was not the life I wanted. It just was not the situation I wanted. I wasn't being the dad I wanted to be. I was resentful of my situation, blaming everybody else for my, you know, my situation instead of taking ownership of it. And that was spilling over into my home life, so I wasn't being the husband I wanted to be. It just wasn't the life I wanted, but I wasn't doing anything about it. And then one day, I was sitting outside, and I just had enough. It was a beautiful day. And I had to get away from all the noise. And I just got away from my desk. I sat outside and I reflected. Because with so much noise that hits us these days, you must feel it too, Vicki. You know, it's so hard to think. It's so hard to process. It's so hard to just create some space around us to do some of that more thoughtful connecting. And I finally did that. And what came to me very clearly was, you know, I need to do something about this, that I own the situation. And I didn't know what to do, because I wasn't going to just leave my work, and I wasn't going to move. We had just moved there. It was a beautiful place that we moved to. So I didn't really know what to do about my situation. So I realized, you know, maybe if I shift my perspective, what if I start small? What if I try to focus on something that I do have control over? And the decision I came to was that I would just have breakfast with my family the next morning. A very seemingly innocent, small decision, maybe a 20-minute difference in my routine. But once I made that decision, it was pretty amazing. You know, I felt empowered. I felt like I had taken a little bit of control of my life back, even though it was a pretty benign decision. And I got very excited. And I immediately call my wife, and I say, you know, we're going to have breakfast tomorrow. And she gives me the, you know, that's nice, honey, whatever you want. I said, okay, I understand, you know, it's just breakfast. But for me, it really was exciting. And here's something interesting. You know, right away, I went back to my work, and the whole afternoon was different. I had realized that I had been making myself suffer. I had been making everyone around me wrong. I had been making myself wrong, all because I was blaming or shoulding on everybody else. They should do this, he should do that, she should do this. And I wasn't taking responsibility for my own decisions. And when I made that one small decision, it was a really momentous shift that I felt. And so when I went back to my work, the work didn't change, but my relationship to it did. And it made all the difference. And that was a huge lesson that I learned just from that small little decision. And so I go back to my office, and I go home, and I'm excited. And the next morning I wake up, and I'm all dressed, ready to go to work at my normal time. My wife at the time was taking me to and from the train. We had one car. And she sees me all dressed, and she said, oh, I thought we were going to have breakfast, but you could still make your train. What do you want to do? And I didn't know it, but I was standing at a crossroads. And the decision I was going to make was going to significantly affect my life. But it was a day that just felt like any other day, you know. And I didn't have any sign. There was nothing there to help me make that decision except just me. And so I wrestled with it, just like we do. We have an intention, but then when it comes time to doing something, that's where we fall down. That's where we fall back into our own old patterns and our old habits. And that pull, that push is so strong just to do what we always do. And there I stood with that voice in my head saying, just go to work, don't be in trouble, just, you know, it was a nice idea, but she's one, she's not even going to know, she won't remember this, just go to work. But then another little voice pops in also and says, no, you know, you wanted to have breakfast, this is about having the life you wanted, creating the life you wanted. If you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? And then this tug of war is going on in my head. You ever have one of those?
Oh, yes.
I think many of us do, right? There's both sides. We don't know what to do. And so I did something really interesting. I just let go of the rope, and there was no more tug of war. And I just stood in that space for 1 second, and what arose were my core values. And my core values were very connected to my love for my family and the values that I held about being there for them. And so it became abundantly clear that the decision I had to make was to have breakfast with them. And so I said, you know what? The whole point was to have breakfast. Let's have breakfast. And so we sat down. We had a nice little breakfast. My wife took me to the next train. And because I had that breakfast, I was still in the subway when the first plane slammed into the World Trade Center and actually hit my floor, hit my desk, because the morning I decided to have breakfast just happened to be 9/11.
Wow. That is so unbelievably powerful. And really powerful. So you've taken that, and that's been a catalyst for a lot of inspiration for you, and such a big thing. What's the most powerful big idea that's come from being inspired by something so enormous as that kind of catastrophic event?
Yep. The biggest idea was not that I'm a survivor of that experience, actually. The biggest idea and the biggest impact has been that I made that decision on September 10th on a day that looked like any other day. And that's where the power is. You know, the power is not that we have to wait until we experience some kind of life-changing tragedy, or we get bad news from the doctor, or we have a loss or a near miss or anything like that where something wakes us up externally. The magic is that we have the power to give ourselves a wake-up call anytime we choose, on any day that looks like any other day. We just have to start to get in touch with what's important to us, really important to us, make commitments around those values, and do something about it. Turn that intention into action. And we don't have to be reckless about it, right? So I didn't walk away from my job. I didn't walk away from my responsibilities. I embraced those responsibilities, but I also did something else. I just made a different choice within the context that I had control over. And that's the big idea. The big idea is that any one of us, anybody listening right now, has that power already inside them. They just have to learn how to tap into it. We have it at our fingertips. And we can make a different decision to give ourselves a wake-up call, to shift our perspective, to realign with what's truly important to us, at any time. It doesn't mean it's easy to follow through on, but it's available to us. There's possibility there. And that's the biggest lesson that I learned. And that's why I call myself a human wake-up call, because I don't feel that you have to wait to go through one of those experiences to wake up to new possibilities, to get back in touch with those things.
Wow. So what inspires you now? That probably has shifted a bit since this experience.
Yeah, you know what? What inspires me now it's seeing people transform. It doesn't mean that you have to give up things. So, for example, the work I do isn't about that corporate's bad or that, you know, business is bad or anything like that. It's about being true, authentically true to what's important to you and what you want. And what inspires me is seeing people get aligned with what they believe in, you know, and it's not my role to judge what they believe in. It's my role to help them stay true to what they believe in, whatever that is. And so that what inspires me is seeing people defining what they stand for and then taking action around that and falling down, but getting back up and falling down and getting back up, and the growth and the wisdom and experience that they get from that, which ultimately makes them unstoppable. That, to me, is so inspiring. You know, and it doesn't matter where you begin. It doesn't matter if you're taking little tiny baby steps or if you're taking great giant leaps. What matters is that you're being authentic and that you're really standing for something and that your actions are following up with what you stand for.
Well, Mike, tell us a little bit about the framework and the five principles you use to help people wake up their potential and how you hope that framework inspires others.
Yeah, sure. So there's a framework that I call the five P's, the five principles for rewriting your tomorrow, for changing your future, for living powerfully. And then there's a tool that I want to give everybody also, which I call the ABCs of living powerfully. And that's something that you can start with and bring to every single day. But starting with the five principles, you know, it all starts with perspective. Perspective is where you have access to new possibilities. When you're doing things the same way all the time, you don't see the way things are or the way things can be. So we're stuck. We're almost blind, right? So, for example, I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off, and I instantly react. I'm instantly aggravated. I instantly try to speed up. I don't know what I'm going to do when I catch them. But all of a sudden, I've given up all my power, and I'm just angry. You know, I've given up my vitality. I'm emotional. I'm just in reactive mode. That there's no power there. There's no possibility there. I'm just on autopilot going towards a direction. And I find that most of us live a lot of the way as reactors. We react. We react to the things that impact us. We react to the things we see, we do, we judge, all of those things, and we're giving up our power when we do that. So the first step for changing the future is about a shift in perspective. It's about waking up today on a day that looks like any other day. You know, I may have survived that experience of 9/11, but we're all survivors. I mean, with this economy and this world the way it is right now, we are all survivors, every one of us, every day. And this is our wake-up call. And having this shift in perspective to know that today is that someday that you've been waiting for is the first step. The second part of that is just understanding that you already have everything you need to get started. You have all the power that you need. It's inside of you. You just have to make different choices. And so it is that shift of perspective, right, that gives you that beginning, that gives you that spark, that gives you that sense of urgency to not lose any more precious days, but knowing that you can start right now. You don't need anything else to get started. The second P is purpose. So once you wake up, once you have that fire, once you understand that you can do this, that there is possibility there, now you have to know, where do I want to go? Like, remember when the Alice in Wonderland met the big smiley Cheshire cat, and she says, you know, which way should I go from here? And the cat says, well, that depends on where you want to get to. And she says, well, I don't really care where. And he says, well, then it doesn't matter which way you go. You know, and so many of us live our lives that way. We don't have a direction. We don't have a strong enough vision that we want to live into. We have some ideas. We have some thoughts. We have some dreams. But we haven't really grounded ourselves in the possibility of them, that it's real, that we can really create that rather than just making it a wishful thought for someday, some magical someday. And so we need to have that pull, that compelling vision that will give us the courage and the energy and the resilience to keep taking small steps towards it every single day. And so you need to have things that are aligned with your purpose. It gives you that strength. The third P is play. So this is a little bit different than what most people plan. You know, most people start to plan it then. For me, I truly believe, and I've experienced and I've seen, that you have to play now, because to know without doing is not to know. So we think we know what we want. We have an idea of what we want, but we've never really experienced it. And so therefore, we don't really know. You know, what I found is that we need to go and be a discoverer, an adventurer in our lives. There's so many worlds out there. There are so many worlds that we don't even know exist. Our belief of what's possible is such a tiny, tiny percentage of what's truly possible. We need to go play in that other space, that space where we don't even know what we don't know. That's where possibility lies. And we only do that by stepping into, out of our comfort zones, into the unknown, which is very difficult. It's scary. It's challenging. You know, it's what we call hard. But that's where the new growth is going to come from. That's where the new ideas and the new possibilities are going to come from. See, for me, when I was at that company, even after 9/11, I still had no idea what I wanted, right? So I didn't know. I didn't have a direction yet. I hadn't connected to my purpose yet, but I definitely had my perspective shifted, and I knew that I needed to own it. And then one day, one of my wife's friends said, you know, you'd be a great coach. This was like back in 2002, 2003. And I said, okay, that's nice. What is that? You know, when my daughter gets older, I'll coach her soccer team. She said, no, a life coach. I said, a life coach? I never even heard of that. What is that? Now, before she said those seven little words, right, that world of coaching didn't exist for me. But that one small little comment, a casual comment made in the kitchen, right, that I took and I went upstairs and I started researching, opened up the rest of my life for me, right? So had I not done anything about it, had I just taken that little comment and said, oh, that's nice, thank you very much, which I might have done prior to 9/11, it would have just been another intention that just floated away. But because I actually took it and I did something about it, I discovered a new world. And once I discovered that new world, now there were new possibilities. I didn't know how I was going to get there. You know, that's a key distinction. Sometimes, or a lot of times, we stop ourselves from moving forward because we don't know how. We want to already know how, and we base all of our definition of what's possible by what we know how to do. And that's completely wrong. At one point in your life, you didn't know how to do anything that you know how to do now, including walk. So we limit ourselves that way. We have to let go of knowing how, and we have to focus on what. And it's by playing that we're going to discover how, that we're going to be able to take one step that's going to lead to the next step. We're going to go through door number one. It's going to lead us to door number two. We can't know what's behind door number eight yet. You know, we haven't gotten there yet. So playing is really important. Another important step of playing is you have to learn how to fall down, like I mentioned before. There are whole industries that exist about keeping us safe and comfortable. And what we lose is that all growth comes from disruption, from disrupting our patterns, our behaviors, our way of doing things, taking a new road, taking a new way home. You see new things. And that's what playing is. You know, when we were kids, playing, you fall down, you get up. It's no big deal. We don't have that significance that we have as adults. If we fall down, we failed, and that's it. So we need to bring that mentality of play. Then, once we've played, now we have a much better understanding of the world that we want to live into, of what we want. Now it's time to plan, because our lives are so super full, right? There's not a lot of people out there that are just saying, oh, I have so much time, I just don't even know what to do with it. We're all so full. So how am I going to get from here to there, where I want to be over there? Well, this is where our planning comes into play, where we need to break things down into manageable chunks, so we don't get overwhelmed, because, again, overwhelm tends to paralyze us. It gives us a wonderful excuse not to take action. And so we need to plan realistically using SMART goals in a way that's going to work for our life and know that we're playing the long game here. And so we're going to take these little steps one at a time that are going to add up to big change. And so that's what a plan is going to help you do. And then, of course, the fifth one is persist. Because your life's going to show up. The phone's going to keep ringing. The kids are going to still have needs. Your job is still going to have its responsibilities. So this is about persisting in spite of or in embracing the life you're currently existing. So, you know, you're never going to find time. You have to create it. And you have to really get clear on how much time you are going to create within your life to take on this new course. And that's where persistence comes in, because you need to have courage and patience and resilience And you don't have to do it alone. You know, as we like to say, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. So it's also about creating a support structure, an environment that's going to support you along the way of this change. And those are really the five principles.
That is so powerful, Mike. So tell me a little bit more about how you balance the planning and the goals, because that's a big part of coaching, with your inspiration and make that happen. How do you help not only yourself but others come around to being able to have a good balance in that?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, exactly. So goal setting is a key for coaching, as you know. You need to have goals that you're working towards. The goals also need to excite you. They need to be meaningful goals for somebody because, again, they're trying to create a life that they want to live into. So they need to have some kind of power that's going to light them up towards getting there. Now, where we fall down is when we move from intentions into actions, when we go from thinking about our goals to actually taking the steps, you know, to making that phone call or to speaking with that person or to actually, you know, stopping what we're doing and doing some research or doing something different. That's very difficult. That's where we fall down. So the inspiration is about making sure that we're holding our clients up where we see them, up to their potential. You know, we don't get sucked into their drama, their day-to-day drama, which is normal. That's what we do as human beings. We get sucked into our own dramas. We have to help keep their eye above on what that compelling vision is going to be about, what their life is going to be about, why they're doing this, about the stand they are. And so a lot of our work as coaches is to make sure people stay inspired to their own vision. So what I like to say is that we help people get out of their own way and we keep them accountable to themselves. So that's kind of the balance between goals and inspiration.
That is so beautiful. So if you look at this from the standpoint of a world contribution, almost a legacy, what do you really hope to see all of this great work you're doing will inspire future generations and have an impact on the world as far as your contribution? What does that look like for you?
Well, when I do research on living powerfully, I've asked thousands of people, what does living powerfully mean for you? A lot of it comes back to some very basic human definitions of love, of contribution, of satisfaction. You know, for me, if I can get a million people to start living more powerfully, you know, that kind of energy spills out all over everything because we're all connected in that way. So if somebody's living more powerfully, and as you know, energy spills. If you're having a great day, that's going to spill all over everything you do that day. If you're in a bad place, that's going to spill all over everything. So to help people wake up to their potential, to help people live more powerfully, is only going to help them contribute more, live, squeeze more life out of life, and that's going to help all of us. It's about getting back in touch with values and being authentic and having more direct communications with each other. You know, and that, again, that helps us all. I want people, I talk to a lot of people that are in their 80s and 90s. I love learning from them. They have so much wisdom because they've been playing for so long, you know. It's one thing to get information, and it's another thing to get wisdom, and wisdom is gained through experience. And so when you talk to somebody who's older, I always ask them, you know, what is it? What's your advice? What would you do differently when you look back? Give me some of that insight. Give me some of that wisdom. And not one of them would ever say, or not one of them ever says, I would play smaller. They all say, I would have loved more and I would have risked more. They all say, what the heck was I so afraid of? And so if we can inspire, you know, enough people to start living life with that urgency now, to start living powerfully now, the innovation, the creativity, the community that's going to come out of that is going to positively affect all of us. You know, I feel that all of that gets stifled when we're living from within the context of fear and scarcity and need. What happens is it becomes every person for themselves, you know, instead of the collective good, instead of everyone, you can succeed and you can also contribute to others, right? There's that big and in there. But if people are afraid, it's, hey, I have to take care of it's a great excuse to say, I have to take care of myself and my family, and that's it. That's where I stop. And I don't believe that that has to be that way. So the work that I do, hopefully, is contributing towards a much more powerful future.
Oh, Matt, that is so beautiful. Do you have, like, a brief exercise or tip that you share with your clients or use yourself that could really move us into action of this way of being?
Yes, thank you. That's the tool that I want to share with everybody. So it's simple to do, but it's something that you need to practice to be able to bring it to your everyday. It's called the ABCs of Living Powerfully, and there's actually a D in there, but it's ABCs of Living Powerfully. A is awareness. So I'm going to use the silly example of road rage just because it's tangible. People will get it. So when I'm driving, somebody cuts me off, I immediately get upset. I immediately speed up. I immediately go into reactive mode because I have no awareness. Then I look in the mirror. Then I look at the reflection of myself, and then I see, oh, my gosh, look, who is that guy? Who's that guy that's looking out? That's an angry, bitter, resentful guy. That's not who I want to be. That's not what I stand for. So A is awareness. You have to understand. You have to have awareness of where you are in that you're in reactive mode. B is breath. Take a breath. You need to have some kind of separation between that emotion that just sparks when we react to create some space around you. And breath is a huge tool for creating that. C is core values. So now you have to define your core values, and a lot of the work I do with people is helping them. We have to build the house. We have to start inside out, you know, start from center and work out. My core values are love, leadership, authenticity, and courage. So when I'm looking in that mirror after I've been cut off and I'm in a rage, when I take a breath, I create some space and I say, all right, love, leadership, authenticity, and courage. So what would that look like right now? How can I generate that? How can I be that in this moment? How can I bring love or even just commitment or courage or authenticity to this situation? How can I just what do I need to let go of to be able to come back to being who I want to be, what I stand for? And then D is dare. You got to do something. And so in that moment, I let go of whatever I was holding on to emotionally, and I recreate myself as a leader in the moment. And this is the kind of thing, you know, when we're walking around, when we're working, when we're communicating, when we're interacting, we get so reactive. And as soon as we can create awareness, and I've used this with all my clients, and it's just an amazing tool, as soon as we catch ourselves, take a breath, remind yourself who you are, and then try to create who that is in a moment. So rather than you reacting, you're actually creating yourself aligned with who you really want to be, what you stand for, what your values are in any situation. So it allows you to never have to be a victim again.
That is, again, so incredibly powerful. Mike, I know your book is also incredibly powerful. Is there a way people can tap into you and connect with you and with your book?
Yeah, thank you. So I have all of that information, and the book is available right from my website at humanwakeupcall.com. And it's just spelled like it sounds, humanwakeupcall.com. The book's on there, and I have more about my speaking and my coaching and some of my workshops. So I really invite everyone to come along. I also have a Facebook page, Mike Jaffe, the Human Wake Up Call, a Twitter account, Human Wake Up Call. And so, you know, I don't send a lot of garbage down those channels. I only speak when I have something to say to people.
And you certainly had so much to say today, and I know that that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's waiting for everyone who visits your website, humanwakeupcall.com. So, Mike, thank you so much for being with us today. It's always a joy to speak with you and tap into your wisdom, and today was equally as special as all the other times that we've been together. So thank you so very much.
Thanks so much, Vicki. It's been my pleasure.
And if you would like to learn more about Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, our published broadcast opportunities and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's getei.com. And once again, Mike, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Vicki.